Hi everyone, it's great to have you with us again. My name is Craig Boerter and I'm preaching from Pietermaritzburg. We've been doing a series in Grace Generation Church called Living in Exile, and it's also good to have our friends from Gauteng listening in at this time as well. And just to say, guys, I love you and been missing you, and I trust that God's Word is going to encourage us all today. So let's pray together as we come to His Word. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your word in this season of shutdown and lockdown. And we pray, Lord, that your word would come to us and would help us to understand the things that you are doing in the world at this time and also in us. We ask for a spirit of revelation and understanding to be upon us for your glory, we pray. Amen. And so we've been reading through the epistle of 1 Peter, and I want to just read a few verses to us as well this morning. And Peter's writing in, we're going to read from verses 3 to verse 7, and Peter's writing, and he says, from verse 1, he says, "To those who are elect exiles in the dispersion or the scattering in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, to the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Christ Jesus and for sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And so we have been learning how to preach on video around the world as God's church has to contend with the lockdown. And as we come to this word this morning, this has been a very relevant letter to us, written by the Apostle Peter with the help of his friend Silas, to the Jews and Gentiles scattered through the five provinces of Asia, who were starting to face opposition from non-Christians. And also Peter knew that there was increased persecution coming. And so he writes, he wants to instruct them, he wants to prepare them, and he wants to mainly strengthen their faith, which is what I'm also wanting to do in this message today. We've already heard in this series from Masala, as he's helped us to see that there is general tension in the Christian life between the values of the kingdom of God on the one hand, and on the other hand, the values of this world. And we know that when we put our faith in Christ, the kingdom of God broke into our lives and completely changed us. And so the kingdom has come, but the kingdom has not yet come in its fullness. We still wait for Jesus to return. In his return, the kingdom will come in its fullness. And so we live in this age, but we also experience the power of the age to come breaking in on us. And that's why we pray and we say, "Lord, let your kingdom come, because it has already come." And we know that it is an increasing kingdom as God fulfills his purposes in the earth today. And so we're citizens really of another kingdom. We're a people of faith living in a society of growing unbelief. We're in a foreign culture. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're like outposts of heaven on earth. We're on mission in the world. And sometimes we face difficult situations as we're facing at the moment, and there are battles to be fought. And sometimes we feel uncomfortable because it's not always meant to be comfortable. And so Peter calls his friends elect exiles or resident aliens in the world. And he explains to them this gospel tension from stuff that comes at us, from society, and also stuff that arises within us as we long for more of the kingdom of God. And so Christians throughout history have lived with this tension. But I want us to see today that we're also living at the moment through a time of specific tension through this lockdown. And it's also created suffering and trials, global trials and suffering. It's almost like we're double exiles. We're also at the moment banished to our homes. We can't travel. We can't fly anywhere. People are struggling and people are suffering and people are afraid and people are scared. And we're facing global economic challenges as well. And here in South Africa, many folk are struggling to even just find food as well. And my wife is a social worker. She's been working from home. And she's had to help a number of people just to find food and also to deal with domestic abuse. And we've been saying that, and many folk have been saying that what we're living through at the moment is really historic. And it's not just an interruption and then things go back to normal again, but we're looking at a shift. And that's also created tension for us because we're not sure what the future holds. And we know we can't go back to what we had before. So we're living in this unprecedented season. On a more funny side, who would have said 2 months ago that the banks actually want you to put on a mask and go in and ask for money? But what I want us to do this morning is I want us to look at how do we make prophetic sense of this season? What might God perhaps be doing? The purpose of the prophetic is to alert us to what God is doing and to stir us to action. And Peter himself, as an apostle, he refers in his letter to the Old Testament prophets. The Bible says they searched and inquired, looking ahead to when Christ would return. And Peter refers to them. And you will find in the history of the Old Testament that the Jews understood exile. And they'd been exiled before to Babylon because of their idolatry. And you'll find that the further they got away from Jerusalem and the more secular it became, the more the prophets spoke and the more the people became spiritually aware of what God wanted from them. And the Lord came to them and said, you're not going to stay in Babylon. This is not the end of the story. But after 70 years, I'm going to take you back to Jerusalem and continue to work out my purposes among you. And the Messiah will come. And we know that we're living on the other side of that prophecy. And so the prophetic looks ahead and tries to guide us. And we know that the Jews learned from listening to the prophetic word as well. And so for us at this time, it'll be good for us to be looking and asking God, what perhaps may he be doing at a time like this? And to help us, I read an article recently that from the Gospel Coalition that said in September 1939, when Hitler invaded Poland and Britain declared war on Germany, Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a famous preacher in London, he preached 5 sermons to his congregation on why does God allow war. And while he was preaching, he said to folk that there's often two crucial ways that we can understand what to do in a time of crisis. And he said a time of crisis and a time of suffering, such as the Second World War was, he says it can become for God's people a lens to see what God is doing, and it can also become a mirror for us to look at ourselves and see what God may also be doing in our lives. And I think this virus is providing such an opportunity. It's zeroing in our lives on what our relationship with the Lord is like and our faith. Is it real? And it also is also shining the light on things in our own lives that perhaps need to change and to shift at a time like this. And so I want to use this analogy to help us this morning. So let's first start with the analogy of a lens. And we see that we're looking at what God has done for us and what he's up to now. And Peter starts by telling us what God has done for us already in Christ Jesus. The New Testament always tells us what God has done for us before it encourages us to do anything. And he says, and Masala brought this out so well last week, he says, we're chosen exiles. We didn't apply for God's kingdom. We were chosen and we were brought into this living hope with Jesus who is alive. Back behind your faith in Christ, God was at work and he chose you. He loved the whole world, but he set his love on you and on me. And that helps me so much to know that I'm a chosen exile when I go through a time of crisis, when I go through discouragement in exile, to know that I'm chosen, to know that I belong, that I've been adopted into the family of God, that I have a purpose. God has a purpose and a plan for our lives, and that I have an assignment right here on earth, and I have an inheritance that is imperishable, it's undefiled, and it's unfading, and it's kept in heaven for us. And so Peter reminds them, and he reminds us through his letter of what God has done for us. He shows us the bigger picture of what God has done for us. And we must keep reminding ourselves of these great truths. People were saying to Lloyd-Jones at the time of the Second World War, do we need this theology? Don't we just need words of comfort? And he said, no, we need to be rooted in God's word at a time like this to know who we are as we face tribulation and trouble. But secondly, God is also, I believe, strengthening us at a time like this. He's strengthening our faith. And the Bible tells us that. It says, these trials have come so that, and those two words really jumped out on me as I was reading this letter, so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, may be found genuine and bring glory to God. Martin Luther says, faith enables us to see past the visible event that is in front of you and see what God is doing behind it all. Earthly wisdom sees visible things and understands, but faith, like a lens, it sees the invisible and it perceives what God is doing. And friends, I really believe God is looking for persistent faith at this time to go on and on believing in Jesus no matter what happens. God loves to be trusted. And I believe he's teaching us that at this time. We spoke a few weeks ago about simple faith in Jesus that gets us saved and justified and adopted into the family of God. That really was stage one faith, as you put your faith in Christ. But we need to go on, as I said, to stage two faith, which is persistent faith, through suffering, through crisis, through my own doubts and weaknesses and fears and even sin, through opposition, through a viral lockdown, and through whatever the enemy may throw at us. We need to trust God. And as we do that, he matures us and he brings us into our inheritance. And as we trust him, as everything around us is shaking, and everything is shaking right now, we find that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so God allows these trials so that our faith may grow, the Bible says. And sometimes he may seem absent, just as Jesus himself felt the absence of the Father on the cross. And he cried out, God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we may feel God is absent, but I want you to know that he's with us through this time. He himself plunged himself into suffering so that when we suffer, we may know his nearness. He dwells with us and is in us. And Jesus himself was made perfect through suffering. I heard a story once about a silversmith that was purifying silver, and he was holding the metal in a container over the fire, and he kept heating it up and in order to purify the silver. And someone was watching and said to him, how do you know when the silver is fully purified? How do you know when the heat has been enough? And the man smiled and looked at them and said, well, it's when I can look into the pot and see the reflection of my face, then I know that the job has been done. And there's a sense in which God's doing that. He's purifying us. He's strengthening our faith in order to prepare us for what is yet to come. And Christians have historically thrived during times of trouble. They kind of come alive and find all sorts of strength in God that we never knew we had. God says to us, my grace is sufficient for you. And it's been a time when Christians have really done well, even though it's been so difficult. And Peter also understood that God uses these times to achieve his purposes in history, just as he did with Christ on the cross. It was God's plan and purpose that Jesus would suffer on the cross, and yet at the same time he was put to death, it says in the book of Acts, at the hands of sinful men. And God can work through evil, through sinfulness, through a virus, through suffering, through catastrophe to achieve his purposes. He's just absolutely amazing. And God is doing that at this time. I want to encourage you in that way. This virus has just been simply too global, too impactful, too sudden to not see that the hand of God is also in it. Last year we had that prophetic word that where the Lord said, when 2020 starts, when I lift the curtain in 2020, everything is going to change. It will not be business as usual. I have fresh things for you. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself in private. Prepare your heart so that when the curtain rises in 2020, you will be ready and waiting for what God wants to do. But now let's also put the lens down and at a few things we felt perhaps God was doing. And let's pick up this mirror and let's look at ourselves as well at this time. And I want to just say a few things about what God may be doing in us. And I firstly just want to say that we really need to make the most of this historic moment that we're going through. We need to make the most of it. We need to not waste this crisis, as we've said already. It really is, in some ways, as you'll see, a reset. God is resetting things in our lives and in our communities and in our churches even. And so Peter says, firstly, prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded. Our minds need to be sharpened right now. God is looking for resilient disciples. We mustn't give in to sinful passions, but we must be prayerful and watchful at this time. Be alert to what God is doing and to what God is saying. Peter says that. Be sober-minded. Don't give the devil a foothold in your thinking, because thoughts become footholds, and footholds can become strongholds. I know I've also struggled during this lockdown, especially when I've gone out, done some shopping and come back. It's been stressful, and we're having to take precautions, and a spirit of fear can grip our hearts, and we can start thinking thoughts like, am I going to die? Am I facing financial collapse? Where is God in all of this? These are thoughts that go through our hearts and through our minds, and I would encourage you to talk to yourself, not just to listen to yourself at a time like this, particularly regarding fear at such a time. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, the Bible says, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so our minds are really not just like a computer managing data, but your mind has a spirit, a way of looking at things, a map of reality. And we need to be aware of what's going on in our thinking at such a time like this. And also I would encourage us to move in the opposite spirit to what we're picking up in society today, perhaps on the news and what you're reading and what friends are saying. Jesus did that with his apostles. He sent them out in an opposite spirit. He said, I'm sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. And that he said to his frontline troops. And so I would encourage you at a time like this to look to the Lord and to move in an opposite spirit. Perhaps God is dealing with our busyness and our exhaustion at a time like this. Well, move in the opposite spirit and get some rest in this season. Maybe he's dealing with our materialism at a time like this. And we need to look at our finances, how difficult that may be, and to simplify things and to simplify what we're spending money on and look at releasing funds for the kingdom of God. I believe he's also teaching us generosity. There's been a tremendous outpouring of generosity in South Africa that's really united us across races and cultures and backgrounds and languages. And it's been tremendous what God has done in the hearts of people in this country as well. I believe he's also teaching us to pray again, from our places of confinement, just as Jonah prayed from the belly of the whale, his place of confinement. He's teaching us to look to God and not to lose hope. One look at the virus and 10 looks at Jesus in order to strengthen our faith. He's helping us to deal with idols in our lives and the things that have entangled our hearts. He's taking us back to basics again. I think that's what that he's doing. He's dealing with us personally in this lockdown, and I would encourage you to lift up the mirror of God's word and allow God to speak to you. And that's my second point. Let God speak to you at this time through his word. Commit yourself to the regular reading of God's word, large chunks of scripture, and listen to good preaching at a time like this. When you hear his voice, it's a sign of his presence with you. Write down what he's saying. Remember God's promises that he's already given to you, his prophetic promises. Meditate on God's word. If you can worry, you can meditate. Think through the stories in scripture. Put yourself there with Jesus and his disciples. Imagine what happened. Let the scriptures come alive in your heart and mind again. I feel what's also so important at a time like this is also to recognize God's voice. Voice recognition in this season. And remember, the quieter you are, the more you're able to hear. Our society has become so complex and so driven that the need for rest and the need for solitude and the need for quietness to hear from God at a time like this has never been so important. And I've tried to zoom out of a lot of things in order to capitalize on this season. I'd encourage you to do the same. Thirdly, I would love you to also look at growing in your own self-leadership at a time like this. I really believe that we could see the revival of family life, of marriages, and of households during such a time as this. Don't be over-dependent on the pastor or the church service at a time like this, and that may shock you. I believe God is dialing down celebration for a season, and he's strengthening community life. He's emphasizing again the priesthood of all believers, and it's absolutely wonderful as people testify to spending time together and time with their children. And I would encourage you in your leadership in the home to do that with your family and even in your marriage as well. If you're on your own, And you're single and you're feeling lonely and you're feeling, well, I'm on my own and there's no one with me at this time, I would encourage you to look to God and he's with you. And we're also doing our best to connect with people through our life groups at a time like this, through community. Paul says to the Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, not only in my presence, but also in my absence. For it is God who is at work within you, both to will and to act according to his good pleasure. It's one of the greatest summaries of the Christian life. And Paul's saying, as their apostle, he's saying, I can't get to you. And you need to work out your salvation at a time like this. I know what that feels like. And yet God can also strengthen us through a time like this. God can strengthen our leadership. God can encourage us and strengthen us. And that's really what's happening all over the world at the moment. Leadership is under the spotlight. Personal leadership, family leadership, business leadership, church leadership, government leadership. God is at work shaking and strengthening the leadership, various areas of leadership throughout the world at a time like this. And it's a time to reflect. And it's a time to be prepared to change. It's a time to also reinvent yourself and think about what you're doing. I've had to do that with my training I do. I've been traveling a lot and training in various contexts, and I've had to think, how can I do that again? Now we can't travel. I've had to look at putting stuff on video and reinventing myself. And I would encourage you to think along the same lines as well as we look ahead and get fresh vision for the future, for what God would want to do amongst us, and reinvent ourselves in perhaps in a very different world that is evolving. But we're not on our own. I want you to know that. The Christian life is really a true partnership. It's a partnership between you and God. Without God, I can't, and without me, He won't. Our efforts become His instrumentality. And so I would encourage you in your self-leadership. I would encourage you in the home. I'd encourage you in the small groups as well. God is emphasizing that at the moment for a season. Let's be alert to that and let's run with it. And fourthly, He's also teaching us dependency in this season. He's trying to move our identity, I believe, from what we do for Him to who we are in Him. Personal renewal always brings corporate change. And I would encourage you to allow God to renew you and to strengthen you as you depend upon Him. Even slow down so that God can catch up to you as well. Simplify things in your life so that there's time to spend in His presence. Peter says, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. We get anxious in exile because we think God won't look after us. And I would encourage you to throw your anxieties on Him, your fears, your family, your finances, your future, your feelings, your failures, your need for fellowship. And even when you fail, cast your anxieties on Jesus. And the Bible says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart from where things emanate, and it will guard your mind where the real battle is waged. Guard your heart at a time like this. And God will bless you. Think about how to live instead of worrying about dying. Think about how to thrive, not just how to survive. Don't let survival preoccupy you. Commit yourself afresh to the kingdom of God. Ask God to not help you be afraid, to help you to not be afraid of death. It's really just a change of address. When the plague hit Europe, in 1347, many of the Christians stayed behind in order to care for people because of the gospel. Let's ask God to help us, not just to worry about dying and what may happen to us. Let's trust Him. Let's look to Him as He strengthens our faith at a time like this. And finally, know that God can break in to our situation at any moment. I'm so expectant for what God is yet to do. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 7, he says, the end of all things is near. And how could Peter say that so long ago to persecuted Christians? And Michael Eaton says, well, we're not looking for dates on a calendar. That might not be near at all. We're looking for the readiness of Jesus to break into our situation at any time. And in that sense, the end is always near. It may not be the end of the world, but it can be the end of our world. God can break in at any time and change things around completely. And I'm trusting him that he's going to do that. He's got the attention of the entire world at the moment. He could be setting everyone up for global revival as he moves behind the scenes in this unprecedented season. And so as I draw to a close, friends, may your faith be strengthened. I'd love you to finish this sentence as a takeaway from this sermon. Perhaps finish the sentence as your takeaway. God is at work in me right now so that. Please finish that sentence. God is at work in me right now so that. So that he may do new things, maybe new responses, new wineskins, new way of doing things. Maybe he's dealing with stuff in your life. Friends, let's not allow this virus to go past without maximizing our time with God. We have God's word as a lens, and we have God's word as a mirror. We have the work of the Spirit in our hearts as well. And I would encourage you at this time to look to him and allow him to shift things around, not just globally, but in your heart, in your family, and in your life, for his glory. We pray, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in my life on earth and in this unprecedented season. Let me pray for you as I close. Won't you just stretch out your hands and just pause for a moment as we call upon the Lord and we ask him to come by his Spirit and to strengthen us even now. Let's just open our hearts to him. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence even now. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Our Emmanuel, our God with us. Lord, won't you come and strengthen us? Won't you come and strengthen our faith? Lord, won't you help us to see more and more what you're doing prophetically in this season and have faith that behind the scenes you're at work, Lord. You're building your kingdom. We're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And Lord, in our own lives, we ask you to shine your light into our lives, Lord, as we lift up that mirror. You would be at work in us as well, in the home, in our personal lives. You'd prepare us for the future, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, that your name may be glorified. So come now, Lord, and touch us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us now. Friends, let the Spirit of God come upon you now. Let the presence of Jesus come upon you now. Wherever you are, as you listen, open your heart to him. Jesus is with you. Jesus is in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your presence, Lord, that assures us of your reality. We love you, Lord. Have your way in this season and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.